children of the King, Jesus. It's truly, truly an honor. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I will thank you and bless you for yet another day of thanksgiving, another day of praise, another day you have counted us among the living. You have counted us among the healthy, counted us among those that have a vision. I want to thank you for every man, every woman here tonight who you have given ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to perceive what you have in store for us through your word. Father, take all the glory. Should there be any praise? Should there be any attaboy? We give it all to you, Father. Accept our thanks. Accept our gratitude for this opportunity. We thank you for the blood that covers us all. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus upon this environment, upon the world. Feed us, O Lord, with manna from above, that we thirst, that we hunger and thirst no more. Hallelujah. And everybody said,
amen.
Everybody said,
amen.
There's a song we sing in those days. It says, fill my cup, Lord, and lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty in my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Take my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. I'll just sing a few choruses. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirst in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Jesus,
fill my cup
and lift it up. Beyond my control prevail. So here we go. In Habakkuk chapter 2, a prophet of God said, I'll stay my watch. Could you put it up, please? Habakkuk 2. Verse 1, 2, 3. See, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see what will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tablets that he may read it, that he may run that read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry.
praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord has been doing a work within this holy assembly that compels me to share some information worth debating in my heart with us. How many of us can truly say that the Lord is lifting you up? Lifting you up from where you used to be yesterday. Amen?
Amen.
How many can say that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, when the Lord starts to move, He has created a nucleus right here for what is ahead. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to define the word vision. What is vision? What does it mean? There are several definitions of the word vision. It's a sense, and sometimes it's one of the senses. You can see. I'm able to see Sister that is wearing a nice blue, is it blue or purple dress, Sister Chewy. I can see my dear Sister Martin. I can see the colors. I can see Pastor Francis there with his nice prophetic beard, like Moses. So I can see that's one definition. It's a physical sense. Another definition has to do with gifting. You see a vision, a dream, a trance. Amen? That's another definition. Another definition relates to a mission statement for an organization. Amen?
Amen.
Could be a mission statement for a family, could be a mission statement for an individual. What they want to accomplish. Amen?
Amen.
As individuals. I was so happy last marriage workshop. And a few of the young men made a statement and said, wow, if I could redo it again, I want to learn from some of this statement. I think it was Pastor Uchi who made that statement. He said, every year, a family should get together and set a statement, a mission goal for what they want to accomplish that year. And so, was it Uchi, right? He made that statement. Someone made that statement. I said, that's an awesome statement. So, today, each and every one of us, you have a calling. You have a mission for which God has sent you to this planet Earth. And I pray in the name of Jesus, it will not be aborted. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said your mission, the reason for which God sent you to this Earth, you will accomplish it.
Amen.
And it will not be aborted.
Amen.
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 It will not be aborted. If the enemy has his way in your life and my life, your mission, your vision will be aborted before it's time. But we thank God, like my sister said, she will give you a testimony. The Lord delivered her, and yet will He yet deliver. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The next definition I want us to look at, which is where I'm going. It's a mission statement for an organization. See, whether it's an individual mission that you have in mind, it has to be tied up to what God has in store for you, the purpose for which He sent you to planet Earth. And I would like to examine, how do you know? What am I supposed to be doing? So we'll go to a few of that in a few minutes. So the fourth definition has to deal with the mission statement of an organization. Here's what I define it. It is an aspirational description of what an organization would like to achieve or accomplish in the midterm or long term. It is intended to serve as a clear guide for choosing current and future cause of action. Amen?
Amen.
For an organization. My dear brother Ken Opara, he has a huge organization. They have projected goals, am I right? Targets and stuff in order to meet all the expenses and things that have to happen to the organization. So I'm sure every so often they have a word meaning. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. A few times in this holy assembly, we say, God bless the GMI vision. Say, God bless the GMI vision. That will propel me to come, directed me to say, what is the GMI vision? Have you ever, anybody ever gone to the website to find out what the GMI vision is? You think it's just the building? No, it's beyond the building. It's beyond the building. It's a part of it, but it's beyond the building. It's beyond the building. The ultimate is this, of the vision. Go to the website. Acts 26:18. All these scriptures are on the website, right? First page of the website. Acts 26, verse 18. That's the vision. That's our vision. To open the eyes from darkness to light, from the power of darkness to light, that they may receive the forgiveness. In other words, witness. The name of the church is Gospel Missions International. We have played church for so long. And I want to say that now God has raised a nucleus within this setting that He wants to hand the baton to us to go make a difference in the city of Phoenix. Can somebody say amen? You are not just sitting there, we, myself included, have been under the tutelage of the Lord, of men who have not sat down as long as I've known pastor. In fact, back in Nigeria, we had a van, Suzuki, am I right? Going from city to city. I remember I take the microphone, I'll be singing this while he's preaching. They are legends in their right. I've sat at the feet of men like that. I met men like Brother Gigi Oyoki, in California. So God has invested in us. That's why sometimes, not by accident, not by happenstance, but I say by God incidents. Somehow he started changing the order of the service. Amen? It's not that we knew, in fact, and we're going to make you laugh. Pastor Emmanuel, Pastor Yama, and I, we laugh at ourselves. We call ourselves the three blind mice. Amen? Sounds funny. But you know, we are chosen not because we are qualified, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit does the qualification. Praise ye the Lord. Praise you. I'm not worthy to hold up a mic. In fact, the first time I hold up a mic, I said, this young girl said she wanted to MC her birthday. I said, there are men of timber and caliber who know more than I could ever know. Let them be. She said, no. And that's how, for the first time, I said, picking up the mic. And over and over again, God has been helping us. Praise the Lord. So God has and has invested and is investing in you and I, the nucleus that He has created here. I can see Brother Wilson, all the sisters, God lifting them up in preparation for what is ahead. I'm telling you sincerely, I can see it. I can see it. That's why I'm making it plain. That he that hear it may want. Praise ye the Lord. Is it that we have filled this auditorium? No, we haven't filled this auditorium. But yes, to walk ahead, and I can see the harvest is ripe. But laborers are few. But the nucleus he has created here, please admonish us. Put on your seatbelt, strap your boots, and we are going to work. You say, what? Why it is yet day? For the night coming, where no man can walk. Say, when he calls me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere. So whether you are at work, at home, at school, wherever, he wants us to be a light. Praise the Lord.
Amen. vision is everything for a leader. It is utterly indispensable. Why? Because vision leads the leader. It paints the target. It sparks and fuels the fire within and draws him forward. It is also the firelight of others who follow that leader. Show me a leader without vision, and I'll show you someone who isn't going anywhere. At best, he's going in circles, and that will not be your case. The Lord wanted to lead Israel, boom, my cross, but they are grumbling and they are murmuring. And before you know it, the journey of 40 days to 40 years, that will not be your portion or my portion, in the name of Jesus.
Joshua and Caleb
said, we are able to go and take the country. We are able to go and take up things for Jesus.
Amen.
I said, we are able.
Amen.
The Lord is on our side.
Ah.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If you lack vision, look inside yourself. Draw your natural gifts and desires. Look to your calling if you have one. If you still don't have a vision of your own, then consider hooking up with a leader that has a vision. Praise you, Lord. I said, consider hooking up with a leader that has a vision that you can relate to. Amen? And what is the vision? Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 1, 2 and 3. Thank you. What did he say? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Can you say that? The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. That's Jeremiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because what the Lord has appointed me to bring good tidings unto the meek. That is the first mission. To preach good tidings. That is the mission. Say, go into the world and preach the gospel to all nations, making disciples of them. Amen?
Amen.
That is the mission. That is the mission. See, we are a whole new day is starting, and so help us God, we are following the leader, the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, a truly valuable vision must have God in it. Whatever it is we're doing, God has to be the center, the middle, the overall, and everything. Amen? He said, you have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2. To proclaim the assembly of the Lord and the obedience by God, to comfort all that mourn. Amen. To give them 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for spirit of evidence, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the plant of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Hallelujah. It's not about me, it's not about him, but that who may be glorified, Jesus may be glorified. Hallelujah. We preach, not ourselves. We may go to a lot of churches and stuff like that, and you can tell it's about the pastor. I'm not saying the Lord said we should give honor to woman and all that good stuff. But it has to be about Jesus.
no more, no less. Praise be the Lord. Now, vision isn't some mystical quality that comes out of the Bible, as some seem to believe. It grows from sometimes from the leader's past and the history of the people around him. Talk to any leader and you discover key events in their past that were instrumental in creating the creation of the nation. You are here as part, if you consider this your own church. Circumstances in the past propelled you to sit in these pews. Amen? Something resonated within you. Deep was not too deep. That's why you are here. And that's why God is appointing as part of this call to go and make a difference in the environment. Will you hear the call? Will you obey the call? It's an army of volunteers. Nobody compels you to be here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, one of the most valuable benefits of vision is that it acts like a magnet, attracting, challenging, and uniting people. And it also helps us to draw the resources and equipment that we need. Praise the Lord. So we are crystallizing this vision. We are making it plain that he that read it, he that hear it, may run. May run. It's not about me. It's not about him. It's about the kingdom. Can someone say amen?
Yeah.
It's about the kingdom. Hallelujah. Isn't it interesting that in Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of God is upon me to go and preach. That's the first thing. To go and preach good tidings to the nation. John chapter 4, 34 through 38. John chapter 4. We see the same thing here, Jesus talking. They were questioning him and just said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. God has appointed, the next verse, he has commissioned us. That is what he said. His mission was, and this is our mission. So say you know that they are here 4 months, and then coming harvest. What's he talking about here? Doing the work of the ministry. Going out and touching lives and making a difference. Say lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look on the field for their white and orange to harvest. Go ahead, brother. And he that reapeth his fresh wages and gave food unto the eternal life. That both he that sweat and he that reapeth may rejoice together.
No.
Bring him in the sheaves. No. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So we need to look deep within the research of our souls as to what John called as it resonates with the vision God has given us to go and be missions church. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. Successful at this mission, or be successful in anything that is apportioned to us to do. In order for us to be real success, there are 4 elements, 4 things that I will share with us. The information I'm passing to us is not to say that the guy picked up the microphone, or even you hear Pastor Julius was saying the other day, he went back to listen to his own sermon. Sometimes we make an error, we make a mistake, thinking the guy who is having the mic, he has it all together. Is that true? Sometimes we think that. It's not true. We think he has no challenges. It's not true. He's got challenges. The Bible said in this world you have tribulation. So every
the one has challenges. Say, but be of good cheer. My head is not always bad because I have challenges. Amen. There's a lifting up in Jesus. Praise ye the Lord. So because you see someone who is a mighty, he has all the dogs in a row. The guy who has all in a row is already gone. Amen? The Bible said, Noah and Enoch walked with God. The earth could not contain him anymore. The Lord had to take him away. If you are still here, if I'm still here, because I'm still a work in progress. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So here are the four things. To be real success, we have to master certain areas. Because as we go ahead in the next phase of what God is preparing us for, it's a whole paradigm shift. Real, R-E-A-L. There are areas we need to, God will help us be better. R is for relationship. Amen? Each of us influencing one person or the other every day, and we also need influence. Amen? So we have to be better at building relationships. Jesus was the master. Amen? He was the master. And we have to be like him.
Hallelujah.
Jesus could associate with anybody. The rich, the poor, the prostitute, the beggar, the accused, the armed robber, the tax collector. Is someone with me?
Yeah.
And that's where we're good. Sometimes I feel comfortable because I know Sister K. Right? She's cool, she's a believer, she's this. I feel comfortable. It's good. But where God is taking us to, we're going to encounter people for which we will have to be groomed on how to develop relationships. With such people. I feel comfortable now. But sometimes there is someone you run into who is so different in lifestyle, in thinking process. How do you want them to witness to this person? There was a lady, I think it's John chapter 4, at the well. They were ready to stone her. Anybody remember that story? Said she was caught in adultery. Amen?
Amen?
Anybody remember that story? Am I talking to myself? The Lord was able to relate to her to the intent that all the accusers shot them. Amen? How about the tax collector? He said, oh, what's he doing in the sinner's house? If she had known him, God, Jesus had known that this one was a sinner, he would have gone to his house. He won't have allowed her to be in touch. Amen? That is where we are going. So that God will develop in us ability to relate to even the unrelated. Can someone say amen? Because our master was the master of building relationships. It's easy for you to, it's a hard thing. Sometimes when someone hurts you, especially somebody you've done something nice and nice for, and it hurts you, it's hard to forgive. Come here, I've been there. It's hard. So those under the circumstances, oh, you've got to help me here. You've got to help me here. But because he commands us to forgive, we have to. So real success. The next thing is E for equipment. For equipment. Jesus has equipped us for this work.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
What equipment did he give us? He gave us the Holy Spirit, first and foremost. Amen?
Yeah.
John
chapter 16. He said, I will not leave you comforted, but I give you the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 16, verses 7 through 14. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He said, it's expedient to you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you.
Amen.
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 That is the Holy Spirit. And what we read in Isaiah 61, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen. That's the same Spirit we are talking about. Next verse. When he's coming, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me in your body. So the Holy Spirit is there for us, equipping us for the work of the ministry. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'll leave it there. In John chapter 14, 16, John 14, 16, it says basically the same thing. John 14, 16. He gives us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. We go ahead. He said he has put in the church, or in Ephesians chapter, I think it was Ephesians chapter 4, all these gifts. He has equipped us. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 through 14. All these ministerial gifts. The apostle, the prophet. He said, wherefore when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. This gifting of the Holy Spirit is equipping us for what is ahead. And that's where we get gathered together, that the gifts of the Lord begin to manifest in the house. You say that when you can't come and eat in the armor wall, he said, I will restore. And he promises it, he signed it, and he has delivered it to us. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because we need it for this work that's ahead. And I want to encourage us, please strap your belts. There is a work ahead. He said, look at the harvest. Look at the field, it's ripe unto harvest. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, you go on through that verse, it talks of the ministerial gifts, the apostles, teachers, this, that. For the perfect concept of the work of this world. Until we all of us, until we all be perfect like the Christ. So the ultimate of what we're talking in terms of the vision is for you and I to be the Christ to the world. Amen?
Amen.
So when people see you and see me, when someone needs healing, somebody needs deliverance, the dead cannot stay dead around you. Neither can six days. Can someone say that? That is the ultimate. That's where we are going. That is the target. But before we reach there, there's the A, the B, and the C. D. That's where we are coming. I'm bringing this A, B, C. But that is the target. That is what we call. What they call that? Those who play target. The bulls are. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody play target? Are you target
the target has that thing on there.
Yeah, so that is the bull's eye to be Christ to everybody around us. Praise the Lord. The next thing is attitude. See, I'm spelling the word real. R-E-A-L. R for relationship. E for what? Who remembers?
Equipping.
How about A? Attitude. A for attitude. Occasionally we tell our kids, we've got a stinky attitude. Or you tell someone that, your co-worker, she's got she's down in the mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, as children of the light, we have to have the right attitude.
Mm.
If your attitude is not relatable, if your attitude around people see you and say, man, I don't want this. If this is what you call Christianity, I don't want part of it. Because my attitude stinks. Amen?
Amen.
But we need to have the right attitude. So when people see you, you know, we can talk and talk and talk. Somebody can feel the attitude when you're coming across to them. You don't need to talk too much, but somebody, you feel it. Amen? We have to have the right attitude for this work that is coming up. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, what do they say to develop attitude? They said, I have to come and learn the Lord puts things out there, but I happen to just have mine. Philippians, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of this thing. You see, our attitude, what determines our attitude? It's just a thought process. What we think, just 6 inches into your ears, and we talk ourselves into stuff or talk ourselves out of stuff. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I'd like to also look at this quote by a very by the man of God, Charles Swindoll. He defines what attitude is. I'm sure a lot of you have seen this plaque somewhere or the other. Will you put that up? He says, the longer I live, this is Charles Swindoll, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. So attitude to me is more important than the facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than success. That's what other people think. What people think of you doesn't matter. Or what they say. It is important, that more important than appearance, your giftedness or skill, it will make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day. Every day. Regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. It's a choice we have to make. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in such a way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have. And that is what our attitude. See, you can complain. I can complain that I was born on the other side of the track. That is why I am not doing this or not doing that. You can complain, I can complain that, oh, because my mom did this, because my dad did that. That's why I'm doing this. It's for the seasons. We all have to change our attitude to the better. Nobody can change your attitude. Nobody can change my attitude. The only thing we can do is play on the one thing we have, and that's attitude. He says, I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to us. That happens to me. And 90%, how we react to it. How will you react? When somebody offends you, I mean, what did Jesus say? He said, Father, forgive them. Stephen was being stoned. The Spirit of God came upon him. Say, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. See, I swear to you, you and I, we are in charge of our attitude. Yes. And somebody say amen.
Amen.
And somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
This sight, Jesus on the cross, Father went on with him. He's the master. He always had the right attitude. Amen? when we're not in church, when I'm not in church, maybe you're at the grocery store and there's somebody in life taking that sweet time. You feel like, please move, huh? What attitude? Is it like Pastor said one time? Is it cup half empty or half? Praise the Lord. May God help us. In Jesus' name. The next thing I want to know, L. So I spelled R for what? Relationship. E for equipping. A for attitude. And L for leadership. God has called each and every one of us in this assembly into a position of leadership. How many can say amen?
Yeah.
You know, I've been pondering my heart. Lord, I want this house filled. I want to feel Lord. But we are seeing regularly what he's doing. Jesus chose 12 disciples. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus has chosen you. You're part of the volunteer. You are part of the volunteer.
Yeah.
You chose to be here. Amen? Nobody forced you to be here. You see, in the church, it's one business that, unlike any other business, if you don't catch the vision, if you don't like my preaching, nobody's gonna stand at the door and say you gotta sit down. Amen? You can walk out. If you are in the military, you gotta obey what your boss says, amen? When the lieutenant tells the subordinate, say move, it's not a move. Unlike a church, it's all a volunteer thing. Or in a business, if the manager tells his subordinate, say, hey, this is your job, go do it. Because his livelihood is on the line, he's going to do it. So here we have. And it's true for most churches, but I'm saying it's related particularly because I'm trying to make it plain to us. When we say that, what is the GMI vision? What is the vision? I'm crystallizing it to us that Christ may be formed in your life.
Yeah.
And that's why, from glory to glory, is lifting you up. Lifting you up into the image of Christ
yeah.
and His Son. Praise Jesus. So that when the opportunity comes, as we go out, because he has tutored us in-house, we're able to go out and make a difference. Can someone say,
hallelujah.
I see you, young man, I call it M.O.G. Wilson. Awesome. Confidence is assuring. God is brought him on. Set him up, put him out of a married place, and set his feet on a rock to stay.
Oh.
And able to touch his generation of Christ. And say that concerning a bunch of us here. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. That's why the Lord, in his own way, he just changed everything and gives each of us an opportunity. Iron sharpens iron. No matter your age. No matter your calling, no matter whether you're short, lack, you're fat, you're thin, you're bulky, it doesn't matter. God has given us an opportunity. He's grooming us on and gradually changing us into the image of God and Son, His Son. So He's creating among us leaders who go out and make a difference in the world around us. Praise
Jesus.
Praise Jesus. Leadership. Are leaders born? Someone wants to answer that question. Are leaders born? Huh? Are leaders born?
No? Which of that will have the highest income in the world? It was a trick question. I just wanted to see. It was a trick question.
Of course, all it does are poor.
Amen.
No, it was a trick question. I just kind of humorous. There's no other way. But one wish is yes. We can all grow up to be leaders. That is the point. And that's what God has been for us here. Gradually, we are getting confident of what God is calling us to do. That's why we are crystallizing it, making it plain that we want to be Christ to the nations.
Hallelujah. Praise be the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, Jesus Christ, our leader. The Bible says he learns obedience through the things that he suffered. One man said, What I learned on the top, I learned it at the bottom. Amen?
Amen?
What you know today, it didn't happen overnight. Gradually, you added this knowledge and that knowledge, and you became better. Confidence. You say, where did he learn all this stuff? Where did she learn all this stuff? It was overnight. See, leadership that God is calling us into through this small group that He is brought in. It's a daily event. It's not overnight the position of leadership. You may ask, see, to lead tomorrow, we have to learn today. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise be the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If I don't learn from the experiences of others and the experience around us, then we are not. Jesus, when he chose the disciples, said, follow me. He said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And God is calling us, calling you and I to this. For the next phase of where he's leading us to. Total paradigm shift. What he has in mind. We don't know how all the pictures and all the things about it, but like I said, just step by step, he's leading us. How can I become a leader? Take self. Eliminate the tendency to make excuses. Remove rewards until the job is done. Prioritize. Say 20% of your priorities. Give 80% of your production. A lot of times, all of us, we come to specialize in petty and mundane things, and it's still our time. If you look at the day 24-hour cycle, do something. Begin to make it a day. Okay, this first hour, what did I do? This second hour, what did I do? You find out most of what we are doing is the mundane and petty stuff that doesn't give us the expected result. So we have to begin to crystallize our time and manage them more effectively. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, I want to relate something to us here. You see, Pastor Yolanda, a lot of times, he uses boxing. It exhibits leadership, boxing. Because they practice. Say, champions don't become champions in the ring. They are merely recognized there. They already did the homework. Back then, if we don't do the homework, we don't do what needs to be done. When we need to pray, when we need to do this or do that, that pertains to work of the ministry. See, and it's not a case of, you say, the scripture, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10. He says, not he who will walk on this. It's even God himself that has commanded. We are talking spiritual things. But you and you alone, myself and myself alone, knows how I prioritize my life and my time to do things that will glorify and exemplify Christ. So boxing is a good analogy of leadership because it's all about daily preparation. One of our old presidents, one of the very popular presidents of the United States, President Teddy Roosevelt, he's quoted, one of us said, wow, they're going to recite all to us. Here's what he said about leadership and his personality. You need to know where the guy came from. He's reputed as one of the most flamboyant, energetic of the presidents of the United States up to that point in time. He says it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where they draw good deeds, where could have done better. He said, but the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marked by dust and sweat, who strives brilliantly, who errs, who comes short again and again. As you are striving on to perfection, issues in your life come haunting you again and again, and gradually you start having victory over them. Amen?
Amen.
Again, who errs, who comes short again and again? Because there's no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Next. Who knows great enthusiasm, the great devotions? Who spends himself in what he calls? Who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement? Who at worst, even if he fails, at least fails while daring?
Amen.
You see, we cannot fail in this quest to be like Christ because our master, the King, has come before us. He's the first, a prototype of what, and he signed and sealed, he delivered it to us.
Amen.
Shall come to the Father. Shall come in him as the Holy Spirit, and I will lead you into all truth.
Amen.
Praise you the Lord.
Amen.
He has the victory. He has already, what's that word somebody said today? He's rigged it. He's rigged it on our behalf. Amen? So we cannot fail. But let's keep on keeping on. Let's keep on keeping on. You may fall again and again. Say, Lord, you just thought over me, my name. If I fall, Christ will pick me up and be my light. Amen? Even if I give him blackness, hallelujah. It's not over. The same on the path of the saints. And it's not over for you and I in this quest to be like Christ. I'm crystallizing it. What the vision is to be like Christ. Galatians 4:19. He said, let me finish this. He says, so when he said the end, at the end of the travel of high achievement and who at what, if he fails, at least fails by getting to do something great, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who never know victory nor defeat. Look, everybody that's successful in anything, they went through failures and failures and failures and finally, boom, because they never give up.
Amen.
Because you never give up.
Amen.
In this quest to be like Christ, you can lift up your head and say, yes, I made it. Because my King paved the way for me. He signed it, he sealed it, and he got it. Praise ye the Lord. Is somebody with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. See, Teddy Roosevelt was a man of action. When he was a little boy, the parents never thought he'd make it. He was so skinny and bony, he had suffered asthma, and the father went to him and said, son, you have the mind. He said, well, you see this, your body? He ain't going nowhere. I do not have this body. Your mind ain't going nowhere. He says, so you better build this body in so many words. And that's what he did. He started building his body and his mind at the same time. So by the time he graduated from Harvard, he was ready to take on politics.
He went through challenges and challenges. He was one of the presidents, one of the, if you talk about the history of this nation, he's one of those names that people bring in your head. Am I true? Is that correct? Those of us who have known American history. You talk about Lincoln, Roosevelt, Washington, because those men made a difference in that time. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, sisters and brothers, what Christ has done for you and for me is more than a president. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's more than a president. You and I are called to be Jesus to the world. You and I are a trophy. He's expecting. Amen?
Amen?
We are the trophy that is going to present for what he has accomplished. What will you make of your destiny? What will you make of your high call in Christ Jesus? Forget those things that are past. Press on. Press on. Don't give up. Hold on. It is why Lord. Praise the Lord. There are so many things I want to say about leadership. See, every one of us is a leader. Why? Because every one of us, we have influence among one person or the other. In fact, it's said that by sociologists. In a person's lifetime, you influence about 10,000 people in your lifetime. How many people have you influenced in this last 1 year to be like Christ? Praise the Lord. Darkness will not follow your destiny. Darkness will not follow my destiny. You will fulfill the purpose for which Christ has made you part of this holy assembly. Praise in the Lord. One final note I want to just make towards regarding leadership. We'll get to it as a part two sometime later. See, one aspect of leadership that a lot of errors, mistakes are made is in the area of succession. If you are called to be here to lead in the prayer meeting, you are called here to be sought and you cannot. You need to have somebody succeed. Can you say
amen?
Can you imagine that I'm here, I'm supposed to preach, and I don't show up? How would you sound like? How weird. So let's hear. So in most organizations, I'm talking of like physical organization, I mean ministry. There's an area in which we all need to understand. It's called succession. Let me just read this verse. See, succession is one of the key responsibilities of leadership. See, yes, of all the characteristics of leadership, legacy is the one that the fierce leaders seem to learn. See, achievement comes to someone one is able to do great things for himself. Success comes when he empowers followers to do great things with him. Significance comes when he develops leaders to do great things for him. Can you put this in respect to Jesus Christ? But a legacy is created only when a person puts an organization into the position to do great things without him. Jesus was able to empower his disciples, was able to lead them, empower them, and they said, I've begun. We are without him. The ministry continues. Praise the Lord. You and I are here today. Why? Because he created praise ye the Lord. So we have to, in whatever position the Lord puts, job he gives us to do, let us create a succession. Can someone say amen? If you will not be at your post, create a successor. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's a song we used to sing in those days. And I want you to sing this song in a little different. It says, I'm a winner. Jesus makes me a winner. My Lord makes me a winner. Glory to his name. But I want us to put it in this mind. Say, I am a leader. Jesus makes me a leader. Because that's what you are. Because you and I influence somebody every day. Let us be the light and influence around us. How many remember this song? It says, I am a winner. Jesus is a winner. The Lord makes me a winner. Glory to you. It is God that has appointed you to this point. You are a leader. Jesus makes you a leader. My Lord makes me a leader. Glory to his name. He said, I have called you. You have not chosen me. You think I chose myself here? I did it. I really, really did it. If you think I chose to be here, you're kidding me. You are really kidding me. For he didn't choose me. So he has chosen you. I said, he has chosen you.
I receive it.
See something?
He has chosen you.
My dear sister, the king has chosen you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Send it up.
He has chosen you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I am a leader. Jesus is my leader. The Lord is me a leader. Glory to his name. Jesus is my Lord,
our offerings. We have the white envelopes. Somebody help me out with that.